In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, our first lesson today is one that I don't think gets preached on a whole awful lot in the Episcopal Church, or probably anywhere really. So let's take a little bit of time and let's see what kind of trouble I can get in today with it. The story of the fall is inextricably linked in our minds, I believe, to the story of creation. It is all sort of lumped up into one sort of narrative that we all remember from Sunday school days. And here's our little refresher. There was nothing. God made something. God made man. Man got lonely. God knocks him out, takes a rib, makes a woman. Woman there. Don't do the thing. They do the thing. They get tossed out, and now we all have bills. That's the story, okay? So, it's all linked together, I think, in our minds. In three chapters there, we have sort of this one narrative about the creation and how we sort of wound up the way we are. Now, I have often said this, and I'm going to say this again so that everyone is perfectly clear. The Bible is not always factual, but it is always true. It is always true. And while we are fully aware that the world was not created in 7 24-hour periods and all of this, if we take that and we say, well, we're just going to ignore all of this, we lose something dramatically important that was being told to us by those who wrote those words thousands of years ago. Whenever we think or want to start to argue that Genesis, those first chapters of Genesis, are just a pure history of what happened, we fail to realize the meaning behind the story, what it is that we are supposed to learn from those words, from that narrative. And this is what I think we're supposed to learn. From nothing, God made something. Out of nothing came all that we know. God created humanity in His image. Man and woman, both in the image of God, both precious. Woman was created not to be subservient to man, but came from the rib so that she could stand beside man. We make our own decisions, whether or not to follow God or whether or not to think we know better than God. And so often, we think we know better than what God has told us, offered us, or provided to us. And because of that, we live in a broken world. We live in a world where there is sin and suffering and sadness. We live in a place because, in a reality, much to our own doing, because of our selfishness, because of our greed, because of our pride, because of our arrogance. This is sin. We often think about the fall of this story as being about the creation of all sin. But really, it's something that plays out in all of our lives each and every single day. We have the option of choosing good. So often, though, we decide the tasty apple. Although we say it's an apple. Does it say it's an apple in there? It doesn't say it's an apple. In Middle Eastern depictions, you know what it usually is? This is your 50 cents worth of useless information. What's that? Fig. It is sometimes done as a fig. The other common one? Pomegranates. Not a lot of apples in Israel, I guess. I don't know. But the reality is, we choose that fruit. We choose to go that direction. We decide that that's tastier, that's more entertaining, that satisfies my hunger for whatever it is right now, better than feasting on the Word of God, feasting on what it is that God can provide and offer to us. We decide that we want to choose this direction because it suits our needs at that very moment, rather than anticipating what it is that will satisfy our souls. Each of us have the option of living like we're standing in front of that tree, being tempted by that serpent. Are we going to reach out and take that fruit, whatever it may be, or will we resist? The reality is, of course, for each of us, there will be some times that we cannot resist. We won't resist. That is our human nature. That is the reality of us. We're going to pick up that fruit. That serpent might not even say a word to us. We could just walk up straight to that tree, pick it off, and walk. We could. It's been known to happen. It doesn't take a whole lot of convincing sometimes for us to do the wrong thing. But we have the ability to call on someone else to help us make those decisions. We can call on our Lord and Savior. We can call on Christ. We can call on God to help us make the right decisions, to remind us of who it is that loves us, cares for us, and sustains us, and has enabled us to be able to make right decisions, and who it is that is tempting us, who it is that rejects that very idea of the blessedness of creation, the one who rejects that idea of love. We can make the right decision. We have that ability. We don't always do it, but we have that ability. We have that freedom. The freedom that we have in our lives to make the right decisions is one of the greatest gifts God ever gave us in creation. But it's also the one that gets us in the most trouble. My brothers and sisters, I earnestly pray that each and every single one of us, myself included, that we're able to stop before we reach and touch that fruit that's offered us every day, every hour, and think before we pick, before we eat. Because if I had to guess, and I don't know, that fruit didn't taste nearly as good as it looked on that tree. Amen.